Translation of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The personality of Godhead is the supreme master of everything auspicious, because the results of whatever actions are performed by the living being in either the material or spiritual existence are awarded by the Lord. As such, He is the ultimate benefactor. Every individual living entity is unborn, and therefore, even after the annihilation of the material elementary body, the living entity exists, exactly like the air within the body. This thing doesn't work. You know? Sorry, we are taking out issues here. Just blocked my book. To move from here. We started very auspicious. I'll read words again. The personality of Godhead is the supreme master of everything auspicious, because the results of whatever actions are performed by the living being in either the material or spiritual existence are awarded by the Lord. As such, He is the ultimate benefactor. Every individual living entity is unborn, and therefore, even after the annihilation of the material elementary body, the living entity exists exactly like the air within the body. I think there's too much distortion on this. I already have kind of voice like a drum. Nobody will understand. Yeah. Anyway, just envision this verse before we start purport. How Prabhupada was meditating so deeply, actually. How you can make relevant to us this verse. Sometimes he would say he would meditate for a day or two, thinking how he's going to present this. So interesting that he starts from very last point to elaborate on this purport. He takes last point here. Let's see what it is. Purport. The living entity is unborn and eternal. And as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 2.30, the living entity is not exhausted, even though the material elementary body is vanquished. As long as the living entity is in material existence, actions performed by him are rewarded in the next life or even in this present life. Similarly, in this spiritual life also, actions are rewarded by the Lord by the five kinds of liberation. Even in the impersonalists cannot achieve the desired merging into the existence of the Supreme without being favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita that the Lord awards similar results as one desires in one's present life. The living entities are given freedom to make their choices, and the Lord awards them accordingly. It is the duty of everyone, therefore, to worship devotedly only the personality of Godhead to achieve his desired goal. That means nothing separately you can get without his favor, his sanction. The impersonalists, instead of speculating or meditating, can directly execute the routine devotional service of the Lord and thus easily obtain the desired goal. The devotees, however, are naturally inclined to become associates of the Lord and not merge into the spiritual existence as conceived by the impersonalists. The devotees, therefore, following their constitutional instincts, achieve the desired goal of becoming servitors, friends, fathers, mothers, or conjugal lover of the Lord. The devotional service of the Lord involves 9 transcendental processes, such as hearing and chanting, and by performing such easy and natural devotional service, the devotee achieves the highest perfectional results, far, far superior to merging into the existence of Brahman. The devotees are therefore never advised to indulge in speculating upon the nature of the Supreme or artificially meditating on the void. One should not, however, mistakenly think that after the annihilation of his present body, there is no body by which one can associate with the Lord face to face. The living entity is unborn. It is not that he is manifest with the creation of the material body. On the other hand, it is true that the material body develops only by the desire of the living entity. The evolution of the material body is due to the desires of the living being. According to the desires of the living being, the material body develops. So from the spirit soul, the material body comes into existence, from spirit to matter, not vice versa. Generated from the living force, since the living being is eternal, he exists just like the air within the body. Air is within and without the body. Therefore, when the external covering, the material body, is vanquished, the living spark, like the air within the body, continues to exist. And by the direction of the Lord, because he is the ultimate benefactor, the living entity is at once awarded the necessary spiritual body befitting his association with the Lord in the manner of sarupya, equal bodily features, salokya, equal facility to live on the same planet with the Lord, sarshti, equal possession of opulence like the Lord, and samipya, equal association with the Lord. The Lord is so kind that even if a devotee of the Lord cannot fulfill the complete course of devotional service, unalloyed and uncontaminated by material association, he is given another chance in the next life by being awarded a birth in the family of a devotee or a rich man, so that without being engaged in the struggle for material existence, the devotee can finish the remaining purification of his existence and thus immediately after relinquishing the present body, go back home, back to Godhead. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. In this connection, detailed information is available in the Bhagavad Sandarbha of Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhupada. Once achieving the spiritual existence, the devotee is eternally situated there, as already discussed in the previous verse. Hare Krishna. Okay, there's lots of points. Prabhupada mostly goes into one, that your eternal body is changing. You can just touch, like, this chapter is called Scheduled Incarnations. So Brahma, after mentioning all this scheduled incarnation, the last incarnation, mentioned first Buddha, Lord Buddha, and after that mentions Lord Kalki, and ends up incarnations there in this chapter here. But then he said, I just described few incarnations, because whatever is in the beginning of creation, whatever is in the middle, whatever is at the end, which is destruction, is just energy, is created by sanction and energy of the Lord, we said. It's a manifestation of different energies. Nobody can describe completely energies of the Lord, nor incarnations. But then he said, although I mentioned just few incarnations, only those who have, due to unalloyed devotion, surrendered to the Lord or surrendered to his devotee, then they can understand. So he just speaks about one spark of creation which nobody can understand. He said, only those who are surrendered, they can have this glimpse of the nature of the Supreme. And no one else, Lord Brahma says. And then yesterday verse, he touches after those incarnation of he touches on impersonal features of the Supreme, as Srinivas gave class yesterday. Just touch on it. And then later in the verse that this person actually spoke to me, Brahma says, Srimad Bhagavatam.
ends up that he's not impersonal. And then Prabhupada gave very elaborate purport on this very verse, that about personality in that verse, yesterday's and in verse before. Prabhupada always emphasizing that personality. So Prabhupada, as he touches last point, living entities, unborn and eternal. This is what he takes straight away. He didn't elaborate on other points much in this verse, but takes his last, because he was meditating, how can I make it relevant to the people? So that's what's constantly, you know, sometimes mentioned that Prabhupada's books are repetitive. But repetition is necessary until we understand, actually. It's so deep to realize very simple point, which most, if you take a Veda base, most of the time Prabhupada says, you are not the body, you are spirit soul. So emphasized, but it's so difficult to really realize that and live it accordingly. Therefore, this repetition is so necessary. You have to hammer and hammer and hammer until you realize. See? Living entity is eternal, even when body is vanquished. So we are always somewhere else, somewhere situated. In this body or the next body, you're so always somewhere. It's kind of, sometimes those people who are so harassed and struggling in this life, for them is scary. I don't want to exist anymore. Like, I just had enough. But you cannot be vanquished. You're always present somewhere. In this universe, some other form, somewhere else, always. It cannot disappear. Cannot just dissolve. Like all our relatives or whatever, deceased persons, relatives, parents. They're always present somewhere. It would be nice to know. We are so curious often. It would be nice to know, where are they now? I lost my parents like 10 years ago. Where are they now? In which form? It would be interesting to know. But the same as we enter into this family, in this life, short life, and we created ties and bondage and attraction and bondage to this life, to this family, is the same. It happens millions and millions of times. Where are all these entities now? Where are they? Is it even important for the jiva to know? It's like, you know, like they're first gathered together and they're scattered. Gathering and scattering, that's our life, constantly. But because we have these memories of this life, there's bondage, there's attraction, there is, you know. Prabhupada says, all actions of all of us are rewarded in the next life and also in this life. That means whatever we do, we get our reactions, we get what we desire, see. Because all of us are like a small individual universes going around. It's a macrocosmos, microcosmos, like especially New Age, it's like part of philosophy. Within us is same as within universe, the same energies, like we are influenced by planets. Our body is modeled by the planets according to our karma. Like those who know a little bit astrology, they know, as soon as they see somebody, they know exactly which planets are influencing this person. He's short, he's tall, he's very fast, like, you know, Mercury is very good, he's calculating, he's like, you can know nature. Some devotees sometimes use in the Sankirtan, they can know exactly what to say to person. I know one person from country, he's very good. So as soon as you see a person, he knows his modes, his planets, and speaks accordingly to that, and really suits the conversation, presentation of book to this. Anyway, this is another topic. So we are all small universes, and in that sense, what we have to do with other individual universes, in real sense, I mean, with one another, not much. They have their inclination, they will be pulled away to their own destinations, same as we, as happened millions of times already. scattered. Whatever verse said, whatever result one gets for his actions, they are rewarded by the Lord. Without his sanction would never happen. Bhagavad Gita says it. As one surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. And an interesting said in verse, everybody follows me in all respects. Everybody follows me in all respects. All persons. It's an interesting point. Everybody. So, do all jivas surrender to the Lord in any way? Do they really? Yesterday somebody asked, how that they don't understand? Some people don't understand how we can make them understand the importance of this philosophy, of this way of life. Do they really surrender? As this verse says, that they all surrender to me in all respects. Everybody. It's an interesting point. So, you can tackle a little bit this. Like, well, what all jivas are searching after in this material world, in this life? What everybody is searching for? Yeah, exactly. The searching of the happiness, okay. So, this is a reason for all our actions, our plans, our ideas, whatever we think is aimed to that, to find that happiness. That's the only reason why we would do things anyway. Because this is nature of jiva, of soul. Ananda, maya, vyasat, pleasure-seeking entity. This is our nature. This is our real, we are made of it. See? But having crossed barrier between spiritual and material world, we are stripped from that spiritual nature. In that sense, because we wanted to experience, to lord it over material nature. So this kind of real, essential, fulfilling happiness is stripped from us when we cross this border between matter and spirit. It's like a filter for what is reverse osmosis. Water goes through, it strips away all this chlorine, fluoride, even most of the minerals, and it comes almost distilled. That's what we are. We are thrown into the material world, deprived from this very thing which we spend all our energy, our lifetimes to find it here. So it can be found here. Like, that's interesting. Yeah? So we are kind of thrown here in a place where this real spiritual fulfillment cannot be found. It's like you are all jivas, all souls. All of you experienced extremely in this material creation. All of you. So, has anyone found that fulfilling, deep, real happiness, this which soul is searching for? Did anyone? The reasons that we are sitting here, we kind of turn to the things that maybe this one, after so many lifetimes, maybe this, maybe that, maybe this, maybe that, 8,400,000 species of life that are searching for happiness eternally. So, because we are originally made of millions and millions of lifetimes. And what is the way to regain this spiritual nature again, to come to that spiritual consciousness back, because you cannot have it. You're missing something. You have to regain spiritual consciousness to have this fulfillment, which is spiritual, not material. So, finally, we are exhausted because there was a fear that we may never find this. So, there's a kind of point of exhaustion, like Queen Kunti says. Only those who are materially fatigued, they can come to the spiritual path. This is actually true. Like we can say, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai Sitam Lakshman Man Shikornitai. So everyone endeavoring for happiness, even evil deeds of crooked person also. It's not that out of no reason they want to be evil, but they think I'll find happiness by doing this. Even they searching for that happiness, which is ultimately spiritual. So, see how In all respects, everybody is searching for that happiness, which is spiritual. So, although, like, searching for happiness, we get some sensation of pleasure in this material world also. It's almost like a, how you call this, fish tackle. There's a fish tackle there. Maybe this, maybe. So we get hooked on it, which ultimately gives us unfulfillment or misery. So in this way we exist. We get in something a little bit, but not this real fulfillment. Until in some moment, God knows when in our lifetimes, somebody comes and throws the wedge, how you call this, plank of wood or whatever for splitting the wood, or wedge, how you call it, wedge. No, it's like, anyway, whatever, but like imagine an engine is running with all these wheels and cogs and somebody just throws something right in and messes up all. So in this way, in our existence, our traveling to millions of lifetimes, some saintly person, some spiritual person have thrown something into our engine of our mind and then redirected our journey. And this happens many times, not just once. Like Kartik Shantara says in his class, first in some of the lifetimes, we saw the saintly persons, we didn't pay attention. This was already glimpse and a split of second association with saintly persons. Next life, we stop to see. What is that? And then next life, we maybe out of curiosity came closer and maybe talked to him. Next life, we whatever, touched the book. Next life, we read the book. A few lifetimes, which is in the terms of eternity, nothing, small. Our entire life is redirected completely from this so-called natural material current and redirected to spiritual. And the preaching means that exactly. We go on the street, we after trying to throw something in somebody's engine of their routine consciousness and redirect the life completely in different direction. It's like I go in with sledgehammer on the street and walk in. Twang, psh. It's like in cartoons. He's going this way. God knows that will end up. He goes this way. Oh. So his life is shortened. This is beginning of spiritual life. Few lifetimes he'll be there sitting. That's a preaching. Be trying. So it's the only reason, actually, of our having families, being in touch with so many different people in this material world is that we can maybe influence them to do this thang, to redirect their lives, shorten their lives, stop their evolution through many millions of species of life. So how rare is it, you know, to send them beyond birth and death? This is so rare. Devotees are so rare. To hook somebody out of the material world. Same has happened to us. Somehow or other, we don't know. We came to this philosophy, searching. Maybe this, maybe it's that, maybe this. But, you know, all of who are seekers, spiritual seekers, was something like vague. Especially like New Age philosophies. I was into it a lot, 10 years or something. It was inconclusive, was something just not, you know, even if they just accept some person, whatever, as the ultimate creator. It's just vague. Who is that person? It's like almost as far as I could go is that they are such a person, but there are some other persons also, very elevated, whatever. There's some other. That means there may be some other gods, many gods. Always something is missing until somehow by fortune. My heart was filled up with this sense of Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada's explanation, with this philosophy which gives this, you know that in your heart. You know that that's it is. Just we have to spend, in this way we came to the threshold of ultimate purpose of existence. Just we have to make a few steps only, and we will meet the Lord face to face. That's a fortune. And finally, we met somebody who is a crucial person in our life. Could be a guru, could be anyone who gave us the answers for all our questions. So it's like Brahma, Brahmite, Kona, Bhagavan, Jiva, Hari, Guru, Krishna, Prasada, Bhakti, Lata, Bija. So out of many, many, many lifetimes, one who is fortunate, he can meet a person who can, you can give him a proper knowledge and plant the seed of devotional service in their heart. This is how it starts, actually. When you thought, like yesterday's question also, how we can tell them, until they meet this person who somehow or other plants the seed of devotional service in their heart, then they'll turn. Otherwise, they will search. All of us searching and searching and searching. So, and then, according to our surrender, we are rewarded at these verses. See, as we surrender, we are rewarded. So, although we surrender mostly to unpalatable aspects of Krishna's energy, and then we get probably, yeah. Did you ever surrender to something unfavorable? I don't need to ask everybody. In our search, we just don't know. We experiment, we try until we get slaps. Or whatever. Prabhupada said, it's the duty of everyone, therefore, to worship devotedly. Only the personality of Godhead to achieve his desired goal. So, this is ultimate, what we have to come to. The evolution of the material body is due to the desires of the living being. According to the desires of the living being, the material body develops. When our desire becomes intense, then becomes our focus. Yeah. And that when that focus becomes intense, then becomes greed, which is lolyam. And then we go there. That's a kind of what Shastra describes. Yam yam api smaram bhavam. Whatever you think in time of death, or whatever we are focused on, this is our next destination. Which is our strongest attachment, this will determine our next destination. So we can fairly easily see what is our greatest attachment, this will be our next destination. And then we can change that by using Shastric injunctions to tell us, is that favorable or not? And then we can redirect that, if you are sincere. So whatever we are obsessed mostly, whatever we think mostly, we create in our subtle body already. So when subtle body is accomplished, made, soul leaves the present body and assumes that, or enters the womb of the particular mother who will give him that particular body. Yamyava pismarambaram. Krishna fulfills that desire because it becomes our obsession. So therefore, we have to do everything that we develop spiritual body, not material body. That's a spiritual practice. This is sadhana, which may be bitter, but this endeavor, we have to somehow step out of normal consciousness, polluted consciousness, normal habits. So only strong desire can pull us out from this material body, only strong desire, and must be accompanied by proper practice. And we develop that habit. See. Therefore, we have to develop desire to hear. That's the thing. Like, we have to know about spiritual world. We have to know about what is that Krishna, what is that ultimate goal. We have to hear. How we know? By hearing. We have to hear. By hearing, then we may develop attraction. Yes, I want to go there. Like anything else. We travel. Why you want to travel somewhere? You heard. There's nice ways, something to see, scene, whatever, nature. Any country has its own beauties. So we kind of love this. Yeah, I want to go there. Same way. You have to hear about spiritual world. To get this information, develop desire. And then when desire becomes strong, as I said, becomes focused, when becomes focus, extremely focused, when focus becomes extreme, then greed. And then scripture said, greed for spiritual life, that's what will pull us out from material world. Krishna will fulfill. So that's the reason why acharyas, previous devotees, wrote so many books describing spiritual world. Why? For only one reason, to spark interest in us so that we can hear and develop desire to go there. And also to guard against disruption. So develop desire and at the same time guard against distractions in spiritual life, which will is the cause of material existence, of distractions. Many disruptions. We have our obligations towards society, family, but Krishna consciousness, this is our focus. Not the family, not society. See, this is our focus. If this becomes our focus, these external things, then that means disruption from spiritual life. So we can do them in proper consciousness. In proper consciousness, without neglecting our duties, neglecting our obligations, with Krishna consciousness in the mind. That's the main thing. Then it will not become distraction or disruptive. Like our day starts in the japa time. This is, you can say, first focus, learning to focus on the holy name. Put aside all this distraction. Throw your mobile phone 3 miles away and endeavor for that. Nothing is so important, at least in these 2 hours. But focus on the holy name. This is first thing. And then later you focus on glorifying the Lord. And later, with rapt attention, hearing the philosophy. And this way, this is how we develop. Our entire sadhana activities are made for that, to learn this focus. Until it becomes intense greed for spiritual life. See? And then hear and hear and hear and hear constantly. You have to hear them constantly. And you will see, those who practice, after some time hearing and hearing, naturally somehow in us there's some inclination to hear. We like some aspect of spiritual life. We develop some attraction more and more for some certain aspect of spiritual world, of certain activities, of certain associates of the Lord, certain service. This will develop definitely in everybody, slowly, just by hearing and hearing and hearing. Hearing about the abode, about Krishna. Because by doing this, one day we'll find ourselves in that abode. We'll find ourselves walking towards Gokul or Golok, in a place which is made of Chintamani Dham, of jewels, is described by Vaishnava Acharya. The trees in Gokul or Goloka are made of jewels. They are embraced by the creepers made of jewels also. Like we have emerald trees which are embraced by golden creepers or crystal trees which are embraced with emerald creepers and sapphire trees encircled with rubai creepers. And leaves are made of different jewels and flowers even made of jewels which have mesmerizing fragrance. And even birds are jeweled birds. For our conception, how is that be? If you have figure of bird made of crystal, it turns will crack. But in spiritual world, this is what's made of. and all nature, sand is just fine diamond sand. And then Chintamani jewels are scattered all over the place. And all wall of the buildings are made of jewels, so shiny, they're reflecting everything which is around them. They're reflecting walls of other buildings, reflecting the sky and stars. This is a spiritual abode. So to hear about this abode, this is how we develop this desire. So we may find ourselves one day barefoot, walking in that path to Gokul in the spiritual world. Letting our hearts to pull us towards direction. We just feel we're going there, into that direction. We just feel this unusual scenario, unusual place. In distance we'll see structures and our heart will explode from ecstasy, running there, meeting the denizens there, residents. We may ask, is that way to go cool? But we'll not be able to speak anything. We will totally overwhelmed with ecstasy. And they also, they will not be able to say anything. But their eyes, their gaze, they tell us, yes, this is a path to go cool. Then maybe end up there and seeing anxious crowd doing something that you don't know. Is that confusion? Are they happy or distressed? As Vaishnava Acharya has described. Are they happy or distressed? What are they doing? Everybody's doing something, And then you see figure there, dressed in reddish with a beard. It describes features of Maharaj Nanda, who orchestrating these entire activities, preparing something. He described he's very tall. He has protruded belly. He has a beard made of mixed of white and black hair, like rice and toast sesame seeds. This is his beard, with bright smile. You may recognize, evening is approaching. We are just expecting cowherd boys and Krishna to return from pasturing grounds. We're just preparing everything. Please join. And then in the midst of this commotion, somebody will shout, here is, they are coming. They will see cloud of dust in distance rising up. You will just stay there, stunned totally. As this cloud approaching, you will see movements, cows are running, and persons are running around, blowing their horns, shouting. As they approaching close, we may recognize associates of Krishna. Oh, this is Sridhar, this is Subal, this is Madhu Mangal. So the hearing of all this build up our attraction towards that. And amongst all this crowd of boys, we will see amazing, most amazing scene. The two boys, brightest than millions of suns, different and most exalted from everybody else, running. And then Krishna may turn his face towards us and recognize us and runs towards us. Rest you can speak when you get there. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Point is we have to hear and hear and hear to develop attraction. Hare Krishna. You can extend the class. I'm finished. Hare Bom. Yeah?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thanks so much for the nice class. I just had a quick question. Unfortunately, I came in a bit late because I was packing books. I'm not sure if you touched on this point. But in the translation, it says that the living entity exists exactly like the air within the body. So I was just wondering, the air within the body, I think it's referring to the prana, right? So I was just wondering, how is it that, so when the body gets destroyed, the prana goes with the spirit soul? Is that stored in the subtle body? Because I thought that prana is stored in the gross body and it's also destroyed with the body. or it just goes somewhere
prana
else?
Prana is something which pervading entire body. It's pervading entire body. The same as soul, it's pervading entire body. So this prana, I don't know exactly these yogic terms, but prana, life energy, it's coming from the soul, definitely. So the same, a soul is not destroyed, prana is not destroyed. I guess this is something which gives us another, sustains our entire next life. I don't know what's the nature of prana in the spiritual world, but I would say it is associated with the mind or with subtle body. This is circulating within the body. The anadis and then prana functions. Prana actually operates our body, is mentioned that opening and closing the eyes, this is one kind of prana. It's a prana, pana, samana, damana, buddhana, all these different pranas. It's a nine of them or something, I don't know, I forgot. So all of them, whatever is functional by our digestion, our breathing, our opening and closing the eyes, our speaking, our hearing, is directed by this prana, different prana energies. Therefore, yoga means you kind of balance those pranas. We have pranayama, breathing, which balances those doshas, is good for health, good for the mind, and then facilitates our spiritual life. So in that sense, is without prana we cannot live. You know, you have pranayama. There are people who are just living on prana, those, how you call these breatharians. They can just, without eating and drinking, they can just sustain themselves on prana. There are few persons on the planet. And there's one person in Portugal for the last 25 years didn't eat or drink anything. So there are things which could learn. This is yogi power. Also yogis, they're living on prana. They can extend their life for 700 years, 1,000 of years. Because to achieve the success in their path, one lifetime is not enough. Therefore, through pranayama, they extend their life for many, 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 many more years that we can continue and achieve ultimate happiness. Anyway, prana is associated with subtle body, but sustainable material body. I don't know what to say. Anyway. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Prabhu, for the class. You were mentioning about how Krishna reciprocates according to one's surrender, and the second part of that verse refers to how he says, everyone follows me in all respects, or follows my path. So I was just wondering if you could maybe comment on this, and what does Krishna mean by path? Because not everyone is following bhakti, or not everyone is following the Vedic injunctions.
Everybody follows my path in all respects. This is simple. I mean, it's not simple, but point is, as I mentioned before, we came in from spiritual world and we are dropped in the material world. We are stripped from our essential happiness. And this, we are prone to search what we are searching for. Ultimately, we are searching to come back. This is mentioned through the scriptures. Through all our endeavors, our actions, our plans, this is the only thing. To come back to that consciousness. In that sense, we all follow that path to come back to our original constitutional position, our nature. That's the thing. So we may not know that because even knowledge is stripped from us. But all this endeavor to be happy is denoting that we are spiritual, because this spiritual happiness, this is what we are made of. And we are searching for on a place where it cannot be found. So everybody follows my path. We're searching for happiness. What is that happiness? Our real spiritual nature. What is that spiritual nature? Ultimately, is Krishna. Because Krishna says, surrender to me only, he says. He doesn't. He's not kind of dictator or something. Surrender to me, follow me. He knows there's no happiness without doing this. So surrender to me only, and then, don't worry, I shall relieve you from all your struggle. That's ultimately that's a happiness. So everybody follows my path. You may know directly or not, but searching for the spiritual nature, that's oh, everybody does. Everybody, animals, birds, everybody. Point is, like, if you have a room full of stuff, full of things to eat, full of everything you imagine, throw somebody there, he wants happiness, so he'll pick up something. But that's how we are. We are all varieties in this material world, pick up whatever you want. But ultimate urge is find that final happiness, which is not to be found here. Anyway, that's it, I think. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna.